It was 1 month ago today that four hijacked commercial airliners took down the Twin Towers in New York City, attacked the Pentagon, and crashed into a Pennsylvania field. It was the worst act of terrorism in American history. Nearly 6,000 people were killed and hundreds injured. 4 weeks later, at the site of the World Trade Center, it's still a giant field of tangled steel, concrete, and smoldering debris. Firemen, police, and iron workers continue their slow, somber work while following the U.S. military actions against Afghanistan. NPR's Eric Westervelt toured the site and prepared this report.
This is it.
With a flashlight to cut through the dark, ironworker foreman Mark Volpe and his crew carefully descend into the basement of what remains of the Trade Center's customs house.
Pretty much the center of number 6 World Trade Center, where the debris falling from Tower 1 impacted the roof and went straight down through 6 floors of building to the second basement level before it stopped.
Volpe's co-workers use small jackhammers to chip away at the concrete so they can reach the steel beams beneath. Up close, this basement garage is a stunning, bizarre sight. An SUV hangs precariously halfway over a slab of twisted concrete and rebar, tipping toward a 20-foot deep pit filled with burned, mangled cars. A giant wave of debris spills into the now wall-less garage.
There's a piece of a couch or a chair over there, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
The twisted pipes, chunks of steel, there's multicolored wires dangling down.
Every so often a photograph will come fluttering by in the breeze. You'll find the oddest things. You know, what might have been keepsakes off somebody's desk. There's files blowing around from the customs house dealing with tariffs on spaghetti and taxes on olive oil. You know, this all meant the world to somebody when they were working here, and now it's just one more piece of trash.
Nearby, a Land Rover sits untouched, and you can see dry cleaning hanging neatly in the back of a new sedan, its red security alarm light blinking steadily. And a few feet away, a burned shell of a car is covered with pulverized concrete, and half a dozen cars stand vertical, their back ends tipping into the air after the concrete floor beneath their front end gave way. Deeper into the cavernous garage, the alarm on someone's trapped car is triggered, perhaps from the vibration of a nearby crane pawing through the heavy piles. This day, Volpe's ironworker crew from Local 40 is using salvaged steel beams to reinforce some of the garage's structural columns that survived the collapse of the 110-story high North Tower. The aim is to enable the giant cranes to get closer to the debris pile. Huge beams from the 55th floor of the tower were cut up and turned into a makeshift ramp for heavy equipment. Close by, half a dozen bucket haulers lift debris by the ton onto giant container trucks, which are then hosed down. Small fires still flare up throughout Ground Zero.
Yesterday morning, just before dawn, I watched one of the grapples pull out a piece of pipe that must have been stuck in the ground vertically, and at least the first foot and a half, 2 feet of it was glowing red hot. We have smoldering fires every day. The firemen stand by to wet it down and also help try and control the dust. But a month later, I wouldn't want to think about how hot it is down at the bottom. I mean, we're just scratching the surface and it's coming out red hot. You can feel it through the soles of your boots. Some of the guys are melting their shoes.
Those who worked in 6 World Trade Center got out alive, but in nearby piles of the collapsed North Tower, the ironworkers have come across human remains. Officially anyway, it's still a rescue effort. But the hopes of finding anyone alive faded 2 weeks ago. One ironworker said, "It's different now. We don't have that gung-ho urgency. We'll be lucky to find any more remains." Volpe, a hulking man dressed in brown work overalls, says he's had to become somewhat hardened to the devastation and its scale.
Every so often, you might find yourself in a quiet moment where you see something different or something poignant, and it rushes back on you. But I think for most of us, or at least for myself, it's when you leave here and begin to enter the outside world, you definitely start your crying every now and then. None of us are immune to it, but if we listened to the little voice inside all the time, we wouldn't be able to work.
Some of these New York ironworkers helped build the Twin Towers, and they share a strange feeling to be back deconstructing the hundreds of tons of steel beams they erected some 30 years ago. Ironworker Kevin Ward is a night shift foreman at Ground Zero.
We're all looking forward to rebuilding, and we're hoping that's what's going to take place immediately after we clean this place up.
Ward says work at the site has become somewhat routine, but the only thing truly normal about it now, he adds, is the 8-hour work shifts. With this pile, he says, things change by the hour, and a month into it, Ward says the slow, difficult work may only get harder.
The deeper we go in, the more dangerous it becomes, the more risky. There's a lot more involved, and there's a lot more uncertainty. The stuff that was up here on the road, we could look at it from a few different angles and see what we had. We don't know what we're doing when we're taking the stuff out, so it has to be done very cautiously. And luckily, you know, things have been good so far. Everybody's been very safe.
The iron workers who've worked down here for weeks cutting steel have watched bodies being pulled from the smoky rubble. For some, that only heightened their anger. Many were itching for U.S. military retaliation.
It's not an easy thing for any rational human being to take another life. But when the cause is just and the need is so great, they'll overlook that.
Dorsey Slagle, his friends call him Stretch, stands 6'4" with broad shoulders and thick, powerful hands. His mustache is gray streaked, and he wears a red bandana under a well-worn hard hat adorned with Marine Corps and Union stickers. Slagle did 2.5 combat tours in Vietnam before joining the ironworkers 28 years ago. He says he's heartened U.S. fighter planes are starting to pay back what he calls the evil cowards of September 11th. But Slagle hopes President Bush doesn't hold back, in his words, like his father did against Saddam Hussein.
I hate to see them half-step, take him out to the last. I would take out every generation of every individual that was involved in this, so nothing like that can breed again. It's like weeds in your garden. If you don't take out the roots, the weed will always grow back.
For Slagle, that means ground troops, something he knows about firsthand.
There's no way that they're going to root out the hogs in the tunnels without going down there to get them. It's the same thing we did in Vietnam. The tunnel rats went into the tunnels right to where they're hiding to get them out. It's unfortunate, but we're going to wind up losing men, but it's a sacrifice to the greater whole.
You pay an emotional price for combat later on, Slagle says, adding, I've had to build up my own armor. Perhaps that armor will prove useful for the combat vet turned steelworker as he enters a second month of work at Ground Zero, the resting place for more than 4,000 people still missing in the debris. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, New York.